puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, a little over a week from now, people from all over Manitoba are going to head to Brandon for the Manitoba Summer Fair. It's got a midway with rides. It's got entertainment, food, a trade show. And of course, all of them are popular. But tucked on the edge of the Keystone Center grounds where they hold the fair is a large, well, somewhat drab building that almost no one will notice. And yet, it's 99 years old, and it once played a key role in the fair. So today, I want to remind our listeners about the Manitoba Government Display Building.
First of all, let's start with the history of the Manitoba Summer Fair.
Mm-hmm. So Brandon's fairs go back to 1882, and the historians in the crowd will immediately recognize that is just months after the city was founded. It was clearly one of the early priorities of Brandon. Local businessmen put up $200, which was, of course, a lot of money in those days, for a prize, and then they invited entries of livestock and grain. The fair originally began at a site at the corner of 10th and Victoria, and later moved to the present site on 18th Street. The purpose was, well, simple, to promote livestock sales, and especially horses, to improve breeding and animal care. Now, of course, over time, a whole sorts of other things have been added to the fair. They have educational lectures, they had government displays, equipment dealers joined in, and, well, today the fair, well, has a whole range of activities for pretty much everyone in the family.
Now, you call the structure that we were discussing a display building. Is this the white building with the four domes on its roof?
No, but that's one that people will often recognize because it is just so dramatic and attractive. That building is the Dominion Exhibition Display Building, and it was built in 1913. That's the year that Brandon hosted the Dominion Fair for all of Canada. You know, it showcased federal programs and innovations from across the nation. And regretfully, after decades of neglect, it landed on a National Endangered Structures list in 2009. Now, that could have been bad news. It could have meant the building would soon be gone, but it didn't. You know, it sparked a massive amount of interest in Brandon. It sparked a restoration effort that was completed in 2018. And today, that is a handsome building. It's used for events. It's actually home for the staff of the provincial exhibition. And so I'm hopeful that the Manitoba Government Display Building might one day see a similar fate.
So what is the Manitoba Government Display Building?
Well, if you've ever walked the Keystone Center grounds, you've probably seen it. It's a long, again, I said, rather plain structure that looks more like a warehouse than a showpiece. It stands right north of that Dominion Exhibition Building. So you see one and you're admiring it, and then just turn your gaze to the left and you'll see it. It's now closed to the public, and I'm told it's used mostly for cold storage by the Provincial Exhibition.
Can you tell us more about its story?
Well, it begins in the 1920s, so about a decade or so after the Dominion Exhibition Building, Western Canada was prospering. Of course, this is after the First World War, and by 1926, the Summer Fair and the Manitoba government wanted a dedicated building there where they could showcase the provincial programs and services that were primarily available to farm families around the province. So Premier John Bracken's government agreed to lease a new building if the exhibition built it. And it was going to be huge. It was 16,000 square feet. Now, the cost was going to be considerable, and the exhibition was reluctant. So the government said, okay, we will lease it from you for 10 years. We'll pay you $3,000 a year. So in other words, a total of $30,000. And if you can make it for less than that, well, then you'll get it free and clear at the end of those 10 years. And that's what they did. In fact, they ended up making it for less than $30,000. Initially, the first stage was in the fall of 1926. That's when Brandon contractor George Epton built the concrete foundation for the building. They couldn't get it all done in time if they started next spring, so they started in the fall beforehand. And then the next spring, in the spring of 1927, the firm of E.C. Higgins and Sons, they put up the superstructure because it had to be ready for the summer fair that would open in July of 1927.
So did they actually make it?
They did. Absolutely. You know, when there's a motivating factor, like you need it because everybody's coming soon and you got to have it ready. In fact, Premier Bracken was there for that opening day ceremony for the new exhibition building on the 4th of July, 1927. But leading up to that opening, the building had swarmed with provincial civil servants who were preparing up those exhibits that they were going to make available to all the incoming visitors so that when the fair opened and people rushed through the doors at the east entrance to the fairgrounds, they saw all sorts of things. And one of the things they in fact saw as they came in through those doors were words that I think were an indication of the building's contents. Those words were education, agriculture, industry, commerce, cooperation, conservation, progress, and I think my favorite, thrift.
Mine too.
And the exhibits that they would see when they got inside covered a vast amount of territory. There were displays on natural resources, on labor, on fire protection and first aid. There were exhibits on the provincial mental hospitals that, of course, were at Brandon's North Hill, but also in Selkirk. There was displays on the Bureau of Health Nurses, displays on the Boys and Girls Clubs, displays on the Manitoba School for the Deaf, displays on women's institutes, and displays on the Manitoba Agricultural College. By all accounts, the new Manitoba government display building was a rousing success, and provincial exhibition officials look forward to many years of future use, even as that use changed over time.
How did it change over time?
Well, you know, it's difficult without going through every last report that I could find. I did find lots of material, and I had limited time to digest it all. But what I found was that during the Second World War, the military took over the building, and I'm not sure quite what use they could put to it because, well, the reality is the building lacked heat because it was primarily intended to be used in the summertime. So I'm not sure what they could really do with it if they planned to use it over the winter. Maybe they used it for storage. I just don't know. But after the war, it hosted displays about Manitoba schools. And, well, I haven't quite found out what those were either. You know, I'm wondering if maybe it was work that the students undertook. Really, not really sure. But what I do know for sure is that everything changed in 1952, because that's the year the building underwent massive renovations. So one of the things they did, for instance, was they took out all the interior walls. Previously, there had been rooms in the building where they, I guess they had had exhibits displayed. Now they took out all those interior walls. They poured a new concrete floor and they turned it into a large open auditorium. And it was renamed, basically became the Manitoba Trade Fair Building. Essentially, as a sidebar, the first of its kind in the province, and the trade fair remains today an integral part of the summer fair. So it's no longer held in this building, but it's held over in the Keystone Center.
And why was that?
Well, by the late 1950s, organizers of the summer fair were growing, well, let's just say, dissatisfied with the infrastructure they had. The Wheat City Arena, which was another major building on the grounds, was, well, deteriorating. You know, its roof leaked and one of its walls was starting to fail. You know, they said, we need a new major building in which to host fairs in Brandon. Well, in 1969, the board of directors of the provincial exhibition met and merged with the Brandon Winter Fair, and they started making plans for a major renovation of the whole site. So, first order of business, let's get rid of that old Wheat City Arena. So, they demolished it. They obtained funds from the provincial and the federal governments that contributed about two-thirds the construction cost. They raised the rest of it locally, and they began building the vast Keystone Center complex. Anybody who's walked around there knows just you can walk for what seems like hours around in there. The work began in late 1970 and the grand opening happened in March of 1973, coinciding with the beginning of the Royal Manitoba Winter Fair. And by the way, if you haven't visited the Royal Winter Fair, you darn well should. It's spectacular. It's so much fun. Now that there was a spiffy new display space for exhibits of all kinds, well, let's just say the blush was off the rose for the Manitoba Trade Fair building, and so it gradually receded into the background. And it's largely forgotten today, so much so that when I asked locals about it, many of them were completely unaware that the building even existed. They go, what building? I said, the display building. Oh, yeah, that's the one with the nice domes on top. No, 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 it's the one beside it. You know, it's a dramatically larger building than that much prettier Dominion exhibition building, but it's not very eye-catching, and people just tend to forget about it.
And what is its present status?
Well, it has undergone some restoration. Back in 2009, I found a newspaper report that said that the provincial government had contributed $50,000 toward its restoration, but that was out of an estimated $142,000 total cost. So I don't know whether the additional funds were obtained. I don't know what work was done at that time. So I thought, well, the best way to find out what's going on is to see it for myself. So I visited Brandon a few weeks ago, and I did a walk around the building, and maybe more significantly, I flew my drone over it. And, you know, standing outside, I could see that there were several portable barriers that I think had been just taken out of storage in preparation for next week's summer fair. Of course, it's only just a little over a week from now. But unfortunately, when I flew overhead with the drone, I saw that there were numerous holes where I imagine that leakage is occurring. And that's never a good fate for an old building. Once water starts getting in, deterioration is almost inevitable. There were also several broken windows, and I could see that pigeons were getting in. And well, there might be pigeon lovers out there who may not appreciate this, but large quantities of pigeon poop will, I think, only accelerate calls to demolish this 99-year-old building. You know, yet, I think it still has lessons to tell us, because as I walked around the east side of the building, and I walked past the long sealed main entrance facing east, I was pleasantly surprised that those same eight words that defined the building's original purpose are still fully legible. Education, agriculture, industry, commerce, cooperation, conservation, progress, and thrift.
Thank you, Gordon, for this. What's up for next week?
Well, in a few weeks, my friend Gail Perry will publish a long-awaited book about one of Manitoba's most important architects named John D. Acheson. Over a long career, Acheson designed all sorts of buildings, not just here in Manitoba, but across the prairies. One that I immediately think of is the Boyd Building, right kitty-corner to the Hydro Building here on Portage Avenue. I'm sure our listeners will recognize many more of his designs. So next week, Gail's going to join us here in the studio to talk about what motivated her to write about Acheson and the sorts of information people will see in her forthcoming book.
A special guest appearance.
That's
on
right.
A Band of Manitoba.
We don't do it often, but I think it's cool.
Gordon and Friends. Maybe that's an alternative title. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.